Joining us on the line, from the Fond du Lac County Director of Communication and Emergency Management, Bobby Hicken. And Bobby, spring inching closer and closer, temperatures start to warm up. It's hard to believe it was 2 years ago where you and so many others within the city of Fond du Lac and the county dealing with flooding. Early on right now, anything that you are keeping an eye on, that city and county staffs are keeping an eye on, that appears to pose a problem right now?
At this point, we are doing well. This year has not had significant changes in temperature, which was a huge contributing factor to the 2 years ago event. And we have not had record amount of snowfall and rain and everything. So we are actually sitting pretty good right now. I hate saying that because I don't want to jinx it, but at this point right now, we're looking pretty good.
And when you look back on 2 years ago, obviously, hindsight 2020, you have a chance to go through the notes of things that you did back then, things that you said, you know what, we can probably use that moving forward. Anything from that 2 year ago challenge that you said, yeah, this is stuff that we can use?
We always learn from things, and every event you learn better on how to do the next situation. Our support and our assistance that we provided, especially in the city of Fond du Lac, was with the sheltering and with the after effects of the flooding. So we really don't have any involvement in what precipitated that and everything like that. We did learn a lot about sheltering and providing the resources for our communities that when we do need to evacuate people. And one of the biggest things, and this is just a lesson learned I want to share with everyone, in the event that you ever have to evacuate your home, the biggest thing that we found is people were not prepared to evacuate and did not bring the appropriate things to the shelter. They always talk about the three P's, the pets, pills, and purse. You need to make sure that you have an awareness of what's going on so you can have those things close by in the event that you do have to evacuate at the last moment. We had a couple apartment complexes that we evacuated and then actually had to send responders back in to get these things from the apartments before the entire area flooded. So that was one of the big things. And as always with the sheltering, how to make that more efficient and effective. We did originally at the beginning of it had multiple locations where people had to go. We don't like to move people around. We want to get them somewhere and get them safe. So that was another thing. We've built great community partnerships with the community church that provided our shelter for us. So just relationship building. And yes, if we ever have to do this again, hopefully it's going to be a lot more coordinated and we're going to be able to provide those services a lot quicker and more efficiently.
Again, we're talking to the Director of Communication and Emergency Management, Bobby Hicken with Fond du Lac County. Bobby, when you talk about where we're at right now with Severe Weather Week, you talk about April with Flood Safety Awareness Week. What are some of the other things people can look at? It's one of those I would assume you and the staff always remind people and encourage people, don't wait until you have to have an event to be ready for an event.
Absolutely, especially as it comes to flood safety and flood awareness preparation for it. Flood insurance is in very, very valuable tool to have in the event that you have to flood. However, there is usually a 30-day waiting period before you can actually claim on that. So it isn't something that, oh, I live near the river and, oh, the river's rising, so I better quick get flood insurance because it's going to happen tomorrow. This is something that you have to plan for ahead of time. It is extremely valuable to have in the event that you are flooded. With flooding, again, have that go kit. Be prepared if you need to evacuate, but also have things that you're going to need, your important papers, all of that. Keep them in waterproof containers, preferably not in the basement. If you can keep them in a different location, so if your basement does flood, you are able to still have those important papers or have copies of them if needed. Some basic things people can do every spring is check your gutters. Make sure that they're cleaned out from the winter, that you don't have a bunch of leaves stuck in there from the fall. Make sure that your downspouts are away from the foundation. It does you no good to have a short little downspout that is just dumping the water right back into your foundation for your sump pump to continue to have to work on. Look for cracks. If you have cracks in the foundation, that is where water is going to seep in, especially if there's a significant amount. So doing those basic home repairs and improvements is going to definitely help those situations where you do get a significant amount of water in a short period of time. Those are just some of the very important things. The biggest thing that I always stress is turn around, don't drown. Do not walk or drive in standing water. We had several roads in the county in different municipalities that washed out, that there were sections of the road that were gone. If somebody drove through there when the water was covering that hole, their vehicle would be significantly damaged. We're not talking sinkholes that they have in California, but there's no point in having that danger. If it's enough of water, which doesn't take all that much, it can take your car and it can sweep you away. Those are very dangerous situations. If you see standing water where it should not be, do not drive into it. I cannot stress that enough. It is such a safety issue, and it is something that people can very easily do to make themselves safe.
Yeah, it always amazes me because you see photos of where cars are stuck, and I'm convinced they look at where they are and they look ahead and they see, well, the road is over there. There's just water in the middle, but they never really take into account how deep that water in the middle is.
And what may not be under that water, or may not be under that water. You cannot see that. So yes, definitely.
We're talking to the Director of Communication and Emergency Management for Fond du Lac County, Bobby Hicken. And Bobby, speaking of the county, news coming out recently that the city of Ripon now transferring their communications over to Fond du Lac County. I guess walk us through how that happens internally for you. Do you have to add more space, more people, changes that you have to account for internally because of adding another city to your management?
We are going to be adding additional dispatchers to cover that increase in work. It does also coincide with the fact that we are busier than ever. Just as City Fond du Lac, Police Department, Fire Department have been explaining that their calls have increased, that means our calls increase as well. So it's twofold. We're increasing the people to provide that best service to all of the citizens of Fond du Lac County, including the city of Ripon. So as we look to take over these services, we're working very closely with the police chief, fire chief, and the EMS chief in establishing what needs to happen, what processes do we need to address. Are there technology changes that need to happen, radio reprogramming, all of that. But it really should be a very seamless thing, especially for the residents of Ripon. My goal is that they are not going to really even be able to tell. They're going to call for help. They're going to get that wonderful service, get those responders there as quickly as possible, and really provide that seamless countywide approach and assistance to all of our responders, all of our residents and visitors of Fond du Lac County. So I'm very excited to be able to say now that we will be dispatching for all of Fond du Lac County, including the city of Ripon, where and so for all of these years I've had to say except for the city of Ripon. So I'm really excited that we have that inclusion and that we are all together.
And is that something, Bobby, that needs to be phased in over weeks or months, or is that something, I don't want to say as simple as, but do you get to a date and you just flip a switch and everything now becomes one? How does that work?
It will be the switch flipped. It will be all in one. Anytime we do anything in phases, especially as it pertains to emergency responses, those are all very coordinated. And if we took over the fire department, but not the police and EMS, now if we get a fire call that needs a law enforcement officer, that needs an ambulance, that just adds confusion and delays. So we absolutely do not want that. So it really is going to be, we will take over those responsibilities. The Ripon Dispatch Center will close and we will take on those responsibilities. And again, it should be seamless to everybody.
And Bobby, when you talk about the increase in calls, fire and police, and I know it sounds simple in nature, but the level of 911 calls and specifically the false alarm 911 calls, any reminders that you can give residents that could work or could assist in helping to minimize or reduce the number of false 911 calls?
Absolutely. There is always the situations where we have people calling 911 that either dial wrong or inadvertently their phone dials 911. A couple of things, be very careful that you lock your phone. The smartphones are getting so smart that they have little tricks and gadgets that activate 911. Pay attention to where your phone is, and if you're going to be doing a lot of movement, maybe move your phone into a different location so you aren't going to accidentally trip 911. If you call 911 and it was unintentional, you meant to call someone else and you misdialed, stay on the phone with us. Tell us what's going on. The biggest time consumer we have of our dispatch personnel and then also our law enforcement personnel are those 911 hangups, where we don't have contact with somebody and they don't answer the phone when we call back, or they're evasive with us, or whatever the case may be, because that now requires us to have a dispatcher going in and investigating that phone number and the history, sending officers or deputies to that area and finding out what's going on. Where if it was simply just a, oops, I didn't mean to do that, let us know that. It helps us so much because we can clear it out, or we can send somebody just to talk to you and make sure everything's okay. But it doesn't take us all of that time to try to locate you and to play detective in a way of trying to locate the person and find out what's going on. So people call 911 on accident all the time. Anyone that's had a tour from me pre-COVID, here, I've done it multiple times myself. If the director of the 911 center can do it, we understand it can happen. You're not going to get into trouble. Just stay on the phone. Help us out. Let us know what's going on. That is one of the biggest things.
I would imagine the response time when you hit 911 is pretty quick, though.
They know right away it's me, that's for sure.
She is the Director of Communication and Emergency Management, Bobby Hicken. Bobby, here's hoping spring is a smooth-flowing season for you.
I appreciate that, and hopefully that did not jinx it. So thank you, Marty.